The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The Independent Commission for Reconciliation and Information Recovery was formed in May of 2024 with the aim of providing information to victims, survivors and their families about troubles-related deaths and serious injuries. They described their mission as one which promotes reconciliation. It meant that from May the 1st, the PSNI relinquished responsibility for investigating unsolved crimes relating to the Troubles. The move was met with some controversy in recent months from victim campaigners and indeed from the Irish government. Sir Declan Morgan is the former Lord Chief Justice of Northern Ireland and he is the Chief Commissioner of the Independent Commission for Reconciliation and Information Recovery and he is with me in studio. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's great to have you. And you might explain to our listeners exactly what the genesis of your commission was, how it came about.
Yeah. I think I have to start with the Good Friday Agreement, which of course itself was a momentous agreement which had huge impacts both sides of the border on this island. There were many difficult issues that had to be addressed, difficulties around prisoners, difficulties around arms, the decommissioning and matters of that kind, political differences, many of which were successfully addressed. But the one issue that was left that wasn't addressed was the issue of victims and yeah. exactly how we should respond to the trauma and difficulty that people had suffered as a result of the Troubles. It was one of those things that was thought to be too difficult to deal with. And I think there were some people who actually thought that if we stopped talking about it, that it might go away. But that was never going to happen. And I'm afraid we've had to live with that consequence thereafter. We've tried from time to time to find ways of dealing with it. We set up at one stage a historical inquiries team, which unfortunately stopped work in 2013. I devised a legacy inquest plan after that, which was designed to address, in particular, some cases where people had been accused of being terrorists and killed for that reason, but in fact, they were innocent victims. And we had, I myself appeared for somebody who was injured in the Bloody Sunday inquiry. The Ballymurphy inquiry indicated that those people who were shot were all innocent. And there are a number of others as well. So from that point of view, the inquest proved successful in that they vindicated the reputations.
Yeah,
of some
because
of
the stain on the family.
Exactly, exactly. And it was all about vindicating those people and vindicating their reputations. But unfortunately, the inquests only caught an element of those who had suffered. There were many, many others who weren't able to benefit from it. And we hadn't put together something that was there for everybody, that was designed to tell what I call the unvarnished truth about the awfulness of the Troubles in relation to so many people. Generally, where we've made progress in this area, we've made it because the British and Irish governments have been singing from the same hymn sheet. And there has been a degree of political consensus about the way forward. And through the teens, the 2000 teens, that relationship deteriorated, I think. One could see that there was something of a falling out, I think, between
the
two.
And Brexit did not help these matters.
Absolutely.
Because there was antipathy between both sides.
And I think Brexit has a lot to answer for, and this was one of the issues that has suffered as a result of it. The British government then decided to embark on an approach of its own. And that approach was indicated to be focused, among other things, on protecting troops from further investigation. The proposals were roundly rejected throughout the community. Some people rejected them because it was an attempt by the government to hide wrongs that had been committed. Others rejected them because the proposals meant that terrorists could avoid prosecution and people who had suffered as a result felt that justice...
I mean, the British government wanted to bring down the shutters, basically.
They did.
And this chapter is over.
And that is the problem in this area, that so often where you are looking at the effect on victims that the aspiration of politicians and others may well be to hope that it'll go away.
So this standoff between, if you like, all interested parties in Northern Ireland and the British government, and they were on both sides of the community, loyalists, nationalists, all had these objections to what the British... How did the standoff then result in the birth of your commission?
Well, the thing you got to remember about the standoff is that they all may be opposed to it, but they probably had different reasons for being opposed to it. And when this bill was going through, I attended a meeting, a Westminster meeting of the All-Party Human Rights Committee, and I suggested that if they really wanted to stop that legislation going through, the way to do it was for all the local parties to sign up to implementing the Stormont House Agreement immediately. And there was no response to that, no positive answer. The government proceeded on with the bill. The Act itself, on any view, was defective. It's been proved by the courts to be defective. The so-called immunity provisions have been struck out, and the present government in London has understood that that is the case. Now, I understand the hurt and despair that was caused in particular by the decision of the government to close down inquests, because inquests had been providing answers for families. And from my point of view, I was pleased to see that something that I'd put together was actually doing something positive in that sense. But when I was approached with a view to doing this, I had to ask myself the question, well, number one, is there something here that I can put together which I think will provide answers or show a mechanism for providing answers for all people? And will we be able to gain the confidence of the community if we're going to do that?
Now, the essence of this would be the powers that you have and the access that you'd be given to information that should be passed on to families.
Yep.
But sometimes for security reasons, et cetera, the government will say, no, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I mean, we are entitled to access to everything. There is no bar on the information that we're able to get. We can get into the files of MI5 and the other security agencies. The police, under John Boucher's leadership, have been completely open about providing everything that we need. And the issue is, are there circumstances where we might find ourselves unable to disclose some information in our reports? Because the reports would take the information into account. We'd make the decisions on that basis. But the question would be, are there some circumstances when we wouldn't be able to give some of the detail? And the obvious example among all is a circumstance where to do so would actually endanger the life.
In danger, yeah.
Exactly. And so the fact that there are some issues which can't be disclosed is obvious in terms of threat to life. But it's also clear from the European jurisprudence that national security is another area where there has to be consideration of whether everything can actually be disclosed. One of the problems about this is that it's an area which is extremely controversial. And from the point of view of families, I again can see and understand that they are...
they're concerned it's a cover-up.
Well, exactly. There is such a lack of confidence in the institutions which have been put in place, apart from the inquest and to some extent the AGT, but there is such a lack of confidence in the way in which victims have been dealt with, and in particular as a result of the way the previous government framed this legislation as being, to many people's eyes, something of a cover-up in relation to what happened, that it's hardly surprising that the families think if they're not being told something, then it's something they should be told because it's relevant to the cover-up.
You've been through the courts in defence of your commission.
I've been through the courts in defence of our commission, but not in defence of the Act, I hasten to add. And the point is that we looked at the legislation and we asked ourselves whether we could make out of that, with some additions, something that would be would be
inspire
able to
confidence
would be
in people.
Well, would be able to act at the highest standards of yeah. international law, and as a result of that, what we do will then inspire the confidence. And we're at that stage now. We're just 5 months into our work. We're in the process of taking cases through, and the confidence that we establish is going to depend on what we do rather than what we say, because for victims, it's always about whether you deliver. And that is going to be the task for us, to show that we can deliver.
Now, the Irish government had its reservations voiced by yeah. people like Micheál Martin, yeah. Our Minister for Foreign Affairs. And I was talking to him this morning off air, and I asked yes. him about the, yeah. the criticisms that he had made of your commission. Yeah. And he said his reservation was that if you didn't have investigative powers like the PSNI powers, mm-hmm. if you didn't have an investigations branch, mm-hmm. that it wouldn't be enough.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure. I spoke to Micheál very briefly at a conference recently, and he was good enough to indicate that he'd be happy to arrange a meeting, and I'm keen for that to happen. We have an investigative arm within the Commission. It's led by Peter Sheridan, who has a long history in Cooperation Ireland in promoting peace throughout the island, was involved, for instance, in the visit of the late Queen to Ireland, which I think was a huge success in terms of pointing people towards reconciliation. We have officers from John Boucher's Canova team who've come in to work with us, as well as officers from other police and other investigative institutions. So the format of the commission actually provides space for investigation. If there are issues around the nature of the investigation that is a concern for the Irish government, of course we will want to listen to that. It'll be a matter for them to discuss that with the British government, because we're not the policymakers.
Yeah.
We're the people who seek to implement it. But as an institution, we're there to deliver for people. We're not there with a side as to the precise mechanism, as long as it complies with the highest standards of international
law.
Now,
you say the proof of the pudding will be your reports and the findings and how those findings are accepted by the, if you like, injured parties. But tell me this, how do you decide what to investigate? Do people come to you and say, yep. I would like you, my Uncle George, blah, 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 this is what happened, we don't believe that is so, we feel wronged?
Yeah. The process is by way of approach to the commission. We've had over 100 people who've already come into the commission and whose cases we're progressing at the moment. When the cases come in, one of the things you need to remember about these cases is that these are people who have been deeply traumatised by events that have happened in the past. And the fact that they've come in is an indicator that that trauma is still there and needs to be recognised. So we have develop what we call a trauma and resilience approach to dealing with people. We have case support officers who are there to help people through the process. They will help people into the stage of understanding what the commission does, of thinking about what questions they might want the commission to ask, to look at the to do some preliminary scoping in relation to what material is available, to create expectations of what the commission can do and what it can't, because the worst thing we could do is create expectations that can't be fulfilled. At that stage, if they're happy to proceed, then they will move into the next stage, which is the information recovery bit that I spoke to you about, where we've got the investigators who will get access to everything. And once that investigation is complete, it comes to the third stage, which is my stage, where I make the findings on the basis of the material and can order additional investigation in circumstances where I think that lines of inquiry haven't been pursued.
So when do you expect your first report to issue?
It'll be sometime in 2025, and we're aiming to do that in early 2025. But we will expect to issue reports regularly thereafter.
But with 100 cases already on the books,
yeah,
you have a lot of work to do.
We have, and I'm hoping that we'll have a lot more to do as well.
All right. Well, Luke, it's a great pleasure meeting you. Thank you very much. Sir Declan Morgan, Chief Commissioner of the Independent Commission for Reconciliation and Information Recovery. Thanks again for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.